want to talk about some things that we should never stop talking about. I mention them quite often. It's not because I don't have other things to teach. There are some things more important to learn than other things at times. The most important thing you can learn in all your learning and all your getting is the wisdom to know that the main thing that you need to know is how to be saved and how to worship God. Amen. And all other learning falls beneath that. Seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. In other words, whatever God requires of His people in living, not only do we need to seek after God, we need to seek after what God is pleased with. That's called righteousness. Once we reach that point of being pleasing to God, His righteousness has made us righteous. His holiness has made us holy. His word is not difficult to learn. We make it difficult by trying to interpret it and trying to decide what it might mean with our carnal minds. The carnal mind is enmity against God. And when we try to figure out God, or even try to figure out the Word of God, we get into an area where God lets us go like a wandering star into the darkness. Amen. And we find all kinds of things that we can dream up. And we can even get other people to agree it has to be the Word of God when it's not the Word of God. The Word of God is simply something that when somebody knows the Lord and is walking upright with Him, trying to please Him, the Lord reveals Himself to His children. His children know His voice. And He knows the voice of those who are serving Him. All others are just noise. Just things happening that people listen to and they go after this and they go after that. But the people of God shine. They're different. They don't accept just anything. They hear the Word of God when God says, "Know them that labor among you." And we won't be taught by anybody that we don't know something about the fact that they are serving God in holiness, serving God in truth. Because minds that try to figure things out over a period of years sometimes figure things out wrong. They get some things right and some things wrong. And that's why today there are so many people today teaching who God is in error. They're not really teaching God right. So I like to talk about Father God. And when I get through talking about Father God, I'm going to say that Father God is Jesus. And when I say that, it's going to cause a lot of people who have not ever believed it that way, who have never heard it that way, to think that I'm very strange. But that's nothing new, because the people of God who are living right appear to be strange, because those who have wandered off from what could be right in their life are strangers to God. Praise God. See, the whole world has showed us that which is right, which is normal, is actually odd and strange today. You almost have to be some kind of a pervert to be accepted anymore. I mean, that's what's normal nowadays, being alternative lifestyle, doing what everybody else does and being interested in what everybody else is interested in, talk nasty and tell dirty jokes and say bad words and don't be respectful to authority. And that's what's normal today. Don't live with a woman or a man and be married to them. Just live with them without marriage. That's what's normal today. You don't have to listen to the preacher. You don't have to listen to authority. And it enters into people who are trying to serve God. There are churches that are having difficulty today because there's a group of people around the world who are trying to break down God's plan and make something else out of it. saying you don't need a pastor anymore. Now they're trying to say, many of them, they have names for it, collegial eldership. In other words, let the people in the church rule. Let a few people decide when the pastor can be listened to and when he can't be listened to. This is very popular today. Books are being written, and even people in truth have drifted off into this this thing that's out of order with God. And if you listen to them, they can be very convincing that this is the way it should be. Praise God. But we need to make sure that we're walking with God and know who God is. When you know God for yourself, hallelujah, these things don't affect you. Thank you, Jesus. These things, we don't have to fight anything. We don't have to argue about anything. But sometimes it's good to just let it be known. Bring it out in the opening. These things are happening. And a lot of people are being fooled. Sincere people of God being fooled because some people who have preached and who have taught and who have been known as mighty leaders of God have somehow drifted off into some tangent. And now they're believing and teaching that what they taught before is not really the way it is. And I know of some ministers that have even requested that all the former tapes of all their preaching through the years be destroyed because now they see it a different way. And a different way meaning that the plan of salvation that they taught so strongly through the years is not quite as strong as they taught. Because it's more normal nowadays to teach something that's light and easy. You know, and hell, like they once taught it to be hot and a place that you don't want to go to, now it's kind of like, well, you know, we were a little bit maybe strong about that. Because it's popular today to believe that there's not a hell. Or at least not make a big deal out of it. It's normal today in Christianity to believe that God is three persons. Because somebody a long time ago decided that for us. But God never decided that for anybody. And He wants to reveal Himself. Thank you, Jesus. But He's not going to reveal Himself to somebody who is bent on knowing something that's not true and holding on to that. Or being stubborn and deciding that I'm going to follow after something I like, regardless of what the Word teaches, you know, or stay with the fellowship that I've enjoyed, even if they're wrong, rather than take a stand and be thought of as one of them that really, truly lives for God. So many people are swayed because of the influence of those who have become popular. Amen. Popular liars are just as hell-bound as unpopular liars. Scholars who know a lot about the Word of God who are not in righteousness according to the ways of God's teaching are just as lost as those who are very illiterate who are lost and not serving God. Praise God. God is no respecter of persons. Anybody can be saved. And anybody can be lost. Thank you, Jesus. A king can be lost and a pauper can be saved. Or a king can be saved and a pauper can be lost. Makes no difference to God. All He wants is there anybody out there? Is there anybody out there that wants God? And if you want God, do you want His way? Praise God. It's that simple. And if we want God in the way of God, then we will follow after God and God will reveal His way. And it's really prescribed, it's written out in black and white and red in the Bible. So easy to follow that if we're not careful, we'll miss it when we read it. And we'll go off searching somebody else's explanation of it and try to get into some kind of a depth that's not even there. Some teaching that's been handed down, what they all believe and what we all feel together that we should believe. We'll get into that. And decide together, this is what it means. Well, the voice of God doesn't come that way. And people getting together and deciding together how we should interpret the Scriptures. Amen. God's Word is all clear by itself. God Himself wrote it for us through the prophets, through the apostles, delivered it to us. Now it's up to us to read it with our hearts open, with our minds clear, with a humble attitude, saying, God, I want You. I want to serve You. And you know, life's complicated enough. Please don't make living for God complicated for me. And He doesn't make it complicated. The only thing that muddies up living for God is people making it complicated, reading things into the Word that are not there, changing the meaning of what God has given us into something that's more convenient, praise God, or maybe more popular or more accepted. I'm going to tell you this. I would rather go to a small church with a small group of people the rest of my life who believe the truth than to get involved in the greatest number, the most talented, and the greatest outreach program going on the face of the earth. I would rather stay right here in this basement with a few people serving God in truth than to be at the top of the most popular religious movement today that is not teaching this right. Thank You, Jesus. People accept numbers. People accept popular things. Turn on the television, it really sells itself. You see the great emotional moments that people share, how God has blessed them. It looks so real. And to them it seems so real, because even if you're deceived and you've been led into something that's not right, if you've been deceived and you've been sincere in it, you can cry, and it's from your heart. And crying on TV with soft music playing behind you, telling what God has done for your life, can be very convincing to a sincere, searching heart looking for God out there. But no matter how much people cry, no matter how good they look, and no matter how great the program may be known, it is still very, very important that we serve God in truth. Because all those tears and all that emotion and all that getting worked up and all those people being convinced that it's right is all vanity. It's ending up nowhere with God. Praise God, because God's not going to accept anything that's not in His truth, serving Him. Thank You, Jesus. Everything else is rejected. Everything else is rejected. Anybody that does not believe, that does not read the Word of God and come to the conclusion that God and Jesus is one, is going to miss something. They're going to miss heaven. Because the most important commandment even is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And that carries all the way through into His New Testament church. He will have no other God. And it's very plain to see that God is the first and the last. And Jesus is the first and the last. You can't have two first and last. One can only be first, and one can only be last. Jesus is declared in the Scripture to be the first and the last. God the Father is declared in the Scripture to be the first and the last. It's hard to figure out when you try to do it with a carnal mind, but what you might want to try is something that many of us have learned to do in this computer age that we're living in. Go to the end of the matter and then work your way back. You know, they're able to trace many things now by knowledge that has increased to where things that happened in history, maybe they couldn't figure out by all the witnesses and all the reports, maybe the angle that the bullet was fired. But now they can go to the point where the bullet ended. And because of the angle and because of the distance and all these factors, put it in the computer, and the computer can pinpoint exactly where the bullet came from. Amen. And it can when you go to the end of the matter and then you work your way back, you can learn a lot of things that you may not learn when you try to figure out from here to the end of it. And so let's go to the end of it now, and let's just say that Jesus is God. And let's work our way back from there. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. If we can come to the conclusion Jesus is God, then we can learn a lot about why when we called on Jesus, God answered our prayers. Thank you, Jesus. And we can understand a lot of the scriptures that say that things like the Holy Ghost is Christ in you, the hope of glory. We go to the book of John, the 8th chapter. You can keep your seat. Go to John, the 8th chapter. Jesus is in a discussion with some people. Amen. In the 8th chapter of John. And the question comes. He says in verse 18, I am one that bear witness of myself, and the Father that sent me beareth witness of me. Then the people in verse 19 said unto him, well, where is your Father? And Jesus answered, You neither know me nor my Father. If you had known me, you should have known my Father. Now, there's something mighty strong about this statement. Praise God. Don't claim to know God unless you can know Jesus. If you had known me, you should have known my Father. Thank you, Jesus. And these are words that Jesus spoke in the treasury as he taught in the temple. No man laid hands on him. It's not that they didn't want to, I'm sure, but he was teaching some things that were mighty strange to their ears. Thank you, Jesus. Then he said unto them, I go my way, and you seek me, and you'll die in your sins, and whither I go, you can't come. Thank you, Jesus. They couldn't figure that out. They said, well, will he kill himself? Because he says, where I go, you can't come. And he also said, you're from beneath, I am from above. You're of this world, I'm not of this world. Thank you, Jesus. I said, therefore, unto you that you'll die in your sins, for you believe not that I am he. You'll die in your sins. They said, who are you? And Jesus said, the same that I said to you from the beginning. I have many things to say and judge of you, but he that sent me is true. And I speak to the world those things which I have heard of him. They understood not that he spake to them of the Father. And it even gets more clear than that if you want to know exactly who the Father is. We go to John, the 14th chapter. Jesus says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God. Believe also in me. Now, if Jesus is not God, that's a mighty strong thing to say. You believe in God. Believe also in me. Not just anybody should be able to say those words. I mean, I can say, you believe in Joe, well, believe also in me. You know, that's acceptable. But, you know, up to a point. But believe in God, believe also in me. That puts you on the same level as God. You're saying something by saying those words. You believe in God, don't let your heart be troubled, believe also in me. Now, he is either a second God or he is the first God. He's the real God or he's not God at all. And he's saying something here. You believe in God, believe also in me. Then he says, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And whither I go, you know, and the way you know. Thomas said, Lord, we don't know where you go. How can we know the way? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Again, that's very strong if you can't understand. Come to the conclusion, before I'm finished tonight, if you haven't already, that Jesus is God. In other words, the only way any of this can make any sense at all is for Him to be God. Because you can't go to the Father without going through Jesus. I mean, why can't you? If God is God, why can't you say, God, help me? I want to tell you something. When I pray directly to God the Father. And I say, thank you, Jesus. You know why? Because Jesus is God. Thank you, Jesus. He's not a second God. He's not a co-equal God. He is the very God. All these questions, you know, when you say these things, they're there because tradition has put questions in people's minds. So many teachings have caused people to believe that God has to be certain ways that people have thought up. But it's very simple. Jesus is God. Then if you can come to that conclusion, then go back to the beginning and see how God was so that you can know how God is. And you go to the first chapter of John and you find that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. He came unto His own, and His own received Him not. But unto as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God. Even to them that believe on His name. Hallelujah. He was in the world. The world was made by Him. And the world knew Him not. John said, we have seen Him. We have touched Him. Thank you, Jesus. John said, He is the true light. He is the light of the world that cometh to light every man that cometh into this world. He is the light. I'm not that light, but He is the light of the world. Who is the light of the world? God is the light of the world. Who is God? Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And the Word was made flesh, John said, John 1:14, and dwelt among us. And we looked at Him. We beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Thank you, Jesus. And so they're saying, well, who are you? And show us the Father. And so Jesus says, well, if you'd known me, you should have known my Father. Philip said, well, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Praise God. Well, you know, if Jesus wanted to be a smart aleck or wanted to be kind of rude, he could have right there. He could have said, like some of us might, it don't matter whether it satisfies you or not. The fact is the fact and the truth is the truth. You show us the Father and we'll be satisfied. You know, he's kind of puffing himself up to be a little big shot that, I mean, but God knows how to put everybody in their place. Lord, if you'll show us the Father, we'll be satisfied. Jesus said, have I been so long with you? What's so mysterious about this? The answer to his question. Lord, show us the Father and we'll be satisfied. Won't you show us the Father? The answer right after that, have I been so long with you? And you haven't known me? Thank you, Jesus. Have you not known me, Philip? He that has seen me has seen the Father. Now, how deep do you have to go in education to be able to figure that one out? How much Greek do you have to know? How much Hebrew do you have to know? How much education do you have to have? How many years of college do you have to know and have to go to in order to come to the conclusion that when you've seen Jesus, you've seen the Father? Do you believe the Bible? Do you believe the Word? Do you believe what I'm reading out of this Bible tonight? Jesus said, when you've seen me, you have seen the Father. That destroys every book that's written by people who say Jesus is co-equal to the Father. And every religion that bases its teaching about God on the Trinity is now put in a place of being found out to be wrong. That means all Catholics and all Protestants have built on a bad foundation. Baptists, Methodists, Episcopals, every one of you need to come to the truth and realize Jesus is the only God there is and the only God there ever has been. Don't get hung up in the fleshly ministry that only lasted 33 years. Before that, during that, and until now, Jesus remains and always has been God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Flesh and blood was given on a cross. But what Jesus always has been, that was revealed in the Son of God, always was and still is and always will be. And it's the very Spirit that made all things, that was able to do what Jesus said He would do. He said, you destroy this temple, destroy me. In 3 days, I will raise it up. And it was God that raised Him up. It was God that said, in 3 days, I'll raise it up too. Because even in His flesh, sometimes He spoke, and the words He said were the words coming in a way of understanding for man to hear a man speaking about things that man would understand. But there were other things He said that only God could speak. Sometimes Jesus in His earthly ministry spoke as the Son of God. He was the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And He spoke as the Son of God. But that only lasted for 33 years. There were times in those ministry times and in those moments that God spoke and said, roll the stone away. Come forth. Came from the same lips, same vocal cords, because He was both God and man. Praise God. He wasn't saying when you've seen the flesh, you've seen the Father, but He was saying when you've seen the Christ, you've seen the One that sent me. When you see who I am and what I am and why I'm here, you've seen God. I was in the beginning with God. I was with God. I came from God. When God spoke, I came forth. I am the Word of God, sent of God, to become your Savior. And you can't know God unless you know me. There is no God other than Jesus. Jesus is the only God. Or else you can tear all the Bibles up, because that's what the Bibles declare. Brother Bill Dross went into a Bible bookstore and asked him if they had any books about the one God and baptism in Jesus' name. And the owner of the bookstore said, well, Dross, you can find any book that you can about that in this store and you can have it free. Brother Dross gathered up every Bible in the bookstore. He stacked them all on the counter. All versions. He got all the books off the bookshelf. All the Bibles. Every kind of Bible. Amplified Bibles. Every Bible that was in that bookstore. Stacked up a big old stack of Bibles. And the man said, what are you doing? He said, I want my free books. Can you help me put them in the car? He said, every one of these books teach the oneness of God and that Jesus is God. The man reneged. He wouldn't let him have the books. Thank you, Jesus. Have I been so long with you and you have not known me? Philip, he that has seen me has seen the Father. So how sayest thou, show us the Father? Look at me. How can you ask the question when I've just spoke to you and said, I am He? Thank you, Jesus. Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father. In other words, I'm not talking about the flesh that you're looking at. I'm not speaking of the man that you're looking at. I'm speaking of who I really am. The Spirit that you don't see. I am He. That which is in me, and that which I am in right now, is God the Father talking to you. What you're looking at is that which He brought forth to bring you to God. Thank you, Jesus. When you've seen me, you've seen Him. Now, no man's seen God at any time. You can't see God the Father. But God made the invisible God visible through Jesus Christ. He is the visible of the invisible. He is that which can be seen and touched. Because God is so big, nobody has seen Him at any time. And you can't touch God unless you touch Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else just believe me for my work's sake. You've seen me raise the dead. You've seen me heal the leper. You've seen me do all kinds of things that no man could do. Can you believe me because of the things that nobody but God would be able to do that you've seen me do? He's trying to convince these followers that say, show us the Father and we'll be happy. Trying to convince them in a way that of reasoning, which we all sometimes need a little convincing, in a way of reasoning. If you can't believe it because I'm saying it, can you believe it because of what you see me doing? Thank you, Jesus. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. And greater than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. Now, when did he go to his Father? Well, when the cross was erected and the man was put on the cross and Jesus said, it is finished. The flesh died. Thank you, Jesus. And the one that had been standing there saying, when you've seen me, you've seen the Father, continued to live. Because the Spirit departed from that cross. And God is a Spirit. He left a human hide, blood and bones hanging on a cross. That's why the psalmist recorded years before it ever took place the words that were spoken on the cross. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Because what God did, he gave us a supreme sacrifice for sin, for the sins of all mankind. Because Jesus never sinned, but he put all the sin of mankind on Jesus. And God is not going to abide in a place where there's so much sin. He made him the propitiation for all of our sins. He made him the sin bearer. He made him the one that took on all of our iniquities, all of our infirmities, and God said, I'm getting out of here. He put on him the iniquities of us all. And chastised that flesh on our behalf so that we could say, I have been crucified with him. I have gone with him to the cross. My sins have been nailed to the cross. They didn't kill God. It was God that raised up the man the third day, but God was alive and well. When those nails went into those hands, they didn't touch God. You can't hurt God. Thank you, Jesus. God is not in any way manipulated or bothered or hindered by any physical thing. Hallelujah. Nails can't hurt him. But it was God's plan that a supreme sacrifice be nailed to a cross. God had required man to bring lambs. Bring a good lamb, the best of your flock. And there were many animals that shed blood through the years. And then when it came to the cross, it was God's own sacrifice that was nailed to the cross. And in the book of John, in Revelation, John's writing in Revelation, we read about the Lamb of God. The Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. The Lamb of God. Praise God. A lamb slain from the foundation of the world. It's talking about God's own supreme, the best of the flock sacrifice. It's talking about Jesus Christ, the man who was sacrificed on an old rugged tree, sacrificed at the altar, blood was shed, there was the sprinkling of blood, everything that ever had been needed done as far as sacrifices all came to one conclusion in one place on one cross, and all the sins before and after met there at that place where Jesus could say, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Thank you, Jesus. Later on, a few days later, Peter was able to say to many of those that had watched Jesus die, you have nailed your salvation to a cross. You have slain the only hope that you have. You people have destroyed your salvation. You murdered the one that gives you hope. And he talked to them so strong that they stood there in amazement and finally started to say, what shall we do? What shall we do? Whatever answer came at that moment is still the answer. Praise God. And that answer actually told them to repent and be baptized in the name of God. Because there's no other name other than the name of God that will set you free from sin. I mean, why would he choose any other name other than the name of God? It's God they needed. It's God they needed to save them. You read it. It's Acts 2:38. He told them to repent and be baptized in the name of God. And he called his name. Thank you, Jesus. At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is capital L-O-R-D. That Jesus Christ is Lord Jehovah God. Every tongue in heaven, every knee on earth, every tongue on earth shall confess and bow down to the fact that Jesus Christ is the Lord. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus. Why? For the remission of sin. Well, only God can forgive sins. Only God can forgive sins. That was said when the man was let down through the roof that was sick with a palsy and there seemed to be no hope for him before people came and brought him and had faith in Jesus Christ because they saw the miracles he had been doing. And they put him down before Jesus and Jesus said, your sins are forgiven. And the people said, nobody can forgive sins but God. Thank you, Jesus. Peter said on that day, repent and be baptized, every one of you. In the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins. Nobody can forgive sins but God. Repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus. Nobody can forgive sins but God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do. That the Father may be glorified in the Son. That's what Jesus continued to say to these people who wanted to see the Father. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. In other words, I'll paraphrase just those words. Jesus is saying, if you'll ask anything in the name of Jesus, God will take care of it. Verse 15, if you love me, keep my commandments. Thank you, Jesus. Why? Because he's God. His commandments need to be kept. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. For the carnal-minded, they can read a lot of things into that verse. That makes the third God that's on the way now. That makes the third co-equal God, third person in the Godhead. You've heard that before, haven't you? About the three co-equal, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. Now, in the first place, the devil is so sly. He'll take the most important commandment of God and twist it just a little bit and make it sound acceptable to people who are searching for God. Nowhere in your Bible can you read these words, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. You think it's there because you've heard it all your life, but it's not there. There are no three gods, and God's not going to make it look like there are three gods. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. That's one, two, three. God, God, God. That's not in the Bible. You can read about God the Father, the Son of God, and the Holy Ghost, and you can also read these three are one. Let's praise Him. Hallelujah! Thank you, Jesus. The word Trinity is not in the Bible. I said that to somebody here a while back, and they said, well, neither is the word Bible. So I guess they had a point there. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah, it's on the cover, right? If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, keep my commandments. Now I will pray the Father, he will give you another comforter that he may abide with you forever. Now, verse 17, even the Spirit of truth. So he tells us right there with a capital S on the word Spirit who the Comforter is. It's God. It's the same Spirit that Jesus testified to the woman at the well about. And he said, God is Spirit. God is a Spirit, capital S-P-I-R-I-T. God is a Spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Thank you, Jesus. This is the same God he's talking about when he talks about, and I will pray the Father, he'll give you another comforter that he may abide with you forever. What this is actually saying, the Father that is with me now, that's in me, that I am also inside of, that is talking with my lips and with my tongue to you, answering your question about who the Father is, this Father will send you another comforter. So that this same Father can abide with you forever. And that Comforter will be known as the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit of God, which is God. It's going to be in you. It's going to be, I'm with you now, but I'm going to be in you. Thank you, Jesus. Even the Spirit of truth that the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not. In other words, they can't see it, so they can't believe it. Neither knoweth him. The world can't receive this Spirit of truth, the Comforter that God is sending to us. The world can't receive it because they can't see him. And they don't know him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and shall be in you. What's he talking about? He's talking about I'm with you right now, and I'm going to be in you. Because when you've seen me, you've seen the Father that's going to comfort you in the power of the Holy Ghost. And I am the one that's going to be sent, because I'm in the Father, and the Father's in me. And so when the Father abides with you forever, that's going to be Christ in you, the hope of glory, and you can call it the Holy Ghost. It was the Holy Ghost, by the way, that overshadowed the Virgin Mary, and she brought forth the Son of God, and they called his name Jesus. So that makes God the Holy Ghost, God the Father. The Father of the only begotten Son. If the only begotten Son of God is Jesus, and the Holy Ghost is the one that brought Him forth, then Jesus is the Son of the Holy Ghost. Does that make sense? There's only one Holy Ghost, one Holy Spirit. You know, we have more reason to call it Holy Ghost after Calvary, if you want to say ghost. But it's all the same thing. It's Holy Spirit. Before Calvary, the man Christ Jesus hadn't died. After Calvary, the man was alive again. And then he went away, and we received the Spirit, and it's easy to call it the Holy Ghost. But before Calvary, it's mostly called the Holy Spirit, because nobody had died yet. But either way, it's the Holy Ghost, and the Holy Ghost is God, the Holy Spirit is God. It doesn't matter what you call it. I like to say Holy Ghost so people, you know, it either messes them up or makes them think you're fanatic or crazy. Or it causes conversation to take place. Some people say, I don't like to say Holy Ghost. I like to say Holy Spirit. I enjoy saying Holy Ghost. I like to get people stirred up about this thing. If you say what they like to hear and always say what they want to hear, sometimes nothing gets done. You say something they don't want to hear, and they say, why don't you call the Holy Spirit? Maybe it'll give you a chance to say, well, the Holy Ghost is God the Father. Did you know it? And unless they've got ears to hear, they're not going to hear anything you've got to say about God the Father or the Son of God or the Holy Ghost. Just as even when Jesus Himself was teaching, when He'd get through teaching, they were just confused. He wasn't the author of confusion. He was giving them the truth, the Spirit of truth. But when He'd get through, they didn't know what He's talking about. Even when He explained Himself, they didn't know what He's talking about. But listen, over here in verse 16, He says, I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another Comforter, that He, the Father, may abide with you forever. In verse 18, He says, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Hey, can you hear it? In verse 16, He's saying, I will pray the Father, He will give you another Comforter, that He may abide with you forever. Now skip verse 17 and go to verse 18 and just keep reading. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. He's saying that I am the Comforter that God is going to give you so that the Father can abide with you forever. I'm the one. Verse 17, the Spirit of truth that the world can't receive. Verse 18, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. And verse 19, yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. But ye see me, because I live. Ye shall live also. At that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. We're coming to a conclusion. The conclusion is going to be Jesus is God. God is Jesus and Jesus is God. God is in Jesus and Jesus is in God. You can't get to God unless you go through Jesus. When you get to God, you're going to find out He has a name. The same one He gave to His Son. His Son declared, I came in my Father's name. That's why the angel told the virgin and told Joseph, call His name Jesus. Why? Because He will save His people from sin. Nobody can do that but God. He was saying, call this baby the name of the God that saves from sin. Which, you break it down, Jehovah Savior. That's what Jesus means. Jehovah is become my salvation. In other words, it's saying, even when you look at the meaning of the word Jesus, the name Jesus, it's saying, God the Father has become the Savior. God the Father is Jesus. God the Father is the Son. That's what it's saying. God the Father is become the Son of God. Thank you, Jesus. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. And that day ye shall know that I am in the Father, and ye in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest myself to him. Praise God. He's talking to these people, and he's talking to some people tonight. He's saying very clearly, amen, that when you know Jesus, you know God. When you've seen Jesus, you've seen God. When you've walked with Jesus, you've walked with God. Judas, not Judas Iscariot, but another Judas, said, Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world? He just got to explaining the Holy Ghost, the Comforter, me in God, God in me, me in you, you in me. And then this question came from a confused follower. Would you explain that, please? So Jesus answered very patiently. He said, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him. He will keep my words, and my Father will love him. And we will come unto him. Now, some Trinitarians say, there's the proof right there. That makes two. We means two. No, it just means you need to get your understanding open. We means here in this particular case, Jesus, that they know as the Savior, and Jesus that he is declaring to be God, both will come. And when they both get there, it'll be the same one. Thank you, Jesus. And make our abode with him. He that loveth me not, keepeth not my sayings. And the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. In other words, I'm not giving you the words of flesh. I'm giving you the words of spirit. I'm not giving you the words of a man. I'm giving you the word of God. Thank you, Jesus. These things have I spoken to you, yet being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name. Let me just tell you right here before I finish. The name of the Holy Ghost is Jesus. And it's the same Jesus that was on that child that was brought forth in Bethlehem's manger. Same Jesus. And the name of Jesus is the same name as the one that sent him. His name is Jesus too. And if you want to baptize in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Ghost, you need to baptize in the name of Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things. That's why everybody needs the Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost leads us into all truth. It's God leading us. God knows where the truth is. If we don't follow God, we get off on all these tangents. I know several people today, I've known them all my life, who get into this never-die doctrine. That's as poison as it gets, to start believing, I will never die. And they base that on carnal understanding of the Scripture. And that is as poison as serpent seed doctrine, or worshipers of the Sabbath. It's all as poison, and if that gets in a church, it has to be stomped in the head and has to be destroyed. Because Jesus' name followers and people filled with the Holy Ghost fall for it. Because they're not seeking after God, not praying enough. If you ain't praying, you're liable to follow after a Jim Jones and drink some Kool-Aid you don't need. You need to pray. Seek after God and know the truth. And know them that labor among you. And find out
if the one that's teaching you has what he needs in order to teach you, or get yourself cut loose and set free and know where the truth is. I will never die. I've known a bunch of them that said that they did. The Bible says it's appointed to man once to die, and after that, the judgment. We got some folks in the Good News Cafe that believe I'll never die. That's calling God a liar. Thank you, Jesus. They try to base it on the fact that the wages of sin is death, and the gift of God is eternal life. You may not have ever heard of that. You will. You know, we had a man came here for almost 2 years so he could get his point across. That the last prophet of Elijah in our day is the one that he follows. And he listened to me preach for 2 solid years right here in this building. Listen to me preach. Sat back there quietly and took notes. Listen to me preach. 2 years. Listen to you testify. And the whole reason for being here that whole time was in order to convert this assembly into becoming Branhamites. Well, you didn't even know it. I was watching him. I know where the devil is. I know where his seat is. God knows. He speaks to me. I can point him out. I knew when the first time the guy walked in, he ain't right. I let him sit here till he crawled forward. Came out of his little hole and said, "Let me tell you about William Branham. I got a lot of literature, and everybody in this church needs to read it." You know, I don't know why God allowed all these things to happen to me, but you know what? I knew William Branham personally when I was a kid. He stayed in our home, played with me, tickled my ribs. He was one of my pals. I mean, as a little boy, he stayed in my home. William Branham was a man at that time having great crusades, big revivals. A lot of you may not have ever heard of him. Hey, you're sheltered if you haven't heard of him. William Branham has followers all over the world. They call him Branhamites. They won't have a pastor, only William Branham, the prophet that's been dead for 40 years. They'll only listen to him. They have tapes. I've got a set of tapes that date back to the 50s in the closet in there. William Branham. I could sell them on eBay probably for $200, because there's people who won't listen to me. They won't listen to you. They won't listen to anything, because the prophet, William Branham, is the one that had the word for our day. And if we don't hear it from Branham, we can't hear it from God. That's what this man wanted to teach you. And William Branham was Jesus' name. Hallelujah. His followers have written all kinds of books, and they have the history of how when he would preach, lights would appear above his head, halo would appear over his head. And I don't know how many of those things are true, but I do know this. Back when I was a child, and they had these big crusades around Jonesboro, Arkansas, where we lived in that area, my dad was a William Branham follower. He loved William Branham. He and my mom, they thought he was just the greatest preacher going. And I suppose at that time, he was known as the crusade preacher of Pentecost. And they went out to his crusades, and we did see real blinded eyes opened. People that had been crippled in the community for years jumped out of wheelchairs and went running around the church, absolutely set free. Years later, we witnessed people testifying in our churches in different places where we attended that were at those meetings, who went there being blind from birth, who are still able to see years later. They were miraculously healed in those William Branham revivals. Those revivals were so strong that the people that followed him felt like that he was God's last day prophet, and we had to hear from William Branham in order to hear from God. There's another group that lived along about that time. There's a fellow by the name of Johnson, Bishop S.E. Johnson. I used to sit and listen to my radio late at night. He was also Jesus' name. And he would preach so strong. And he had a big following out of Pennsylvania. They had their headquarters there. And they had radio stations all over the world. Programs where they were on every night. An hour every night. Bishop Johnson. Church of the Lord Jesus Christ of the Apostolic Faith. And he preached the gospel strong. And he made sure everybody could hear it. But one thing he kept saying over and over, which kind of messed a lot of people up: you've got to hear the gospel by my mouth to be saved. You've got to hear the gospel by my mouth to be saved. Now, in our Good News Cafe, there's a big, long thread. And there are people today who will not listen to anybody except Bishop Johnson. Bishop Johnson died in a car wreck about 40 years ago, but they won't listen to anybody. You can drive through the country and you can turn on the radio late at night and you can hear squeaky tapes from the past. And now hear the gospel by my mouth. They have been copied and copied and recopied and copied because they don't want to hear anything else. And you copy a tape long enough, you're going to get something like this. They don't want to hear anything else. You need to be careful who you're listening to. You need to be careful who's teaching you. Even a Jesus name person can go bad. William Branham went bad. And I'm sorry to say it, but he went bad. And all those that are following after him today are following something that went bad. By their fruit you shall know them. When he died, his followers tried to get him to walk for 14 days till he was thinking they wouldn't bury him. Because he couldn't die. He preached he would never die. But he did. And you will too. I don't care who you are, how much you believe you won't die. Don't you be teaching of our people you won't die. You're a liar. And the truth is not in you. Let's praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. And William Brown stayed in our home. I'll never forget that night. I saw my dad and my mom come together. My dad was crying. I didn't know what was going on. I was just a little boy. Just a little boy. William Branham, that so many people today call the prophet, and they go to church and they have a seat there called the prophet's seat. Hasn't been dusted for years because nobody dares touch it. Have to give honor to the prophet of our day who died years ago. Don't touch that seat. Clean up the whole church, but don't touch that seat. And then they sit and they turn on the tape and they hear him.
You gotta repent, be baptized in the name of Jesus, every one of you have the Holy Ghost.
Now the truth is there. But when your preacher dies, it's time to put your tapes in the closet and move on. God has a fresh word today, and it's still the same word that he had in the beginning. Jesus is God. And your preacher's not. Branham is not. And the last Elijah that you'll ever know about and ever need came in the form of Jesus Christ. He is our last day prophet. And he's the only one to worship, and he's the only one to teach you and guide you in the truth. There is no other spirit of truth other than God's spirit of truth. The spirit of Elijah is the spirit of God that was in Elijah. And if you want to find the spirit of Elijah on a person today, get the Holy Ghost. And you'll have God the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost and the last day prophet abiding in your house. Let's praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. And even though your sins are forgiven and you've been set free and you're full of the Holy Ghost, you will die. Thank you, Jesus. There's a lot of explanations that say, well, what about this and what about that? Bottom line is, believe one lie and you'll probably fall for another one. And there's no end to explaining, with scriptures even, why they think these things are true. We need to get back to finding out that Jesus is Lord. Baptism in Jesus' name is necessary. And let's go to church, pay our tithes and offering, and go to heaven.